It is dawn. You are over the English Channel in your Thunderbolt with half a hundred other P-47 fighters. Tight formation, climbing steadily now. Your job, protecting B-17 bombers heading for targets in Europe. Top cover, they call it. The Thunderbolt is new, recently shipped over from America. Big, too. A juggernaut. The British boys kidded you when they first saw her size.
You're supposed to run around the cockpit and dodge the bullets, old chap.
But you knew this plane, for you had checked her up. That 2,000 horsepower engine, those four-bladed props, pulling her straight up, then yanking her down into a screaming dive. That dive, it was your insurance, you hoped. It could be your ace in the hole, the way to break off combat when the chips were down. All this you know, for you've run her out good and like her style. But one thing you've never done, fly her in the face of the enemy.
Combat formation!
You ease away from each other into a line. Now, if you meet any Focke-Wulf or Messerschmitt, they will face a wall of weapons. Every Thunderbolt carries 8 wing-mounted machine guns. Special shackles under the wings hold long-range fuel tanks extending the range of action. With them, you are penetrating deep into enemy territory.
Bandits, 6 o'clock!
Your neck swivels around. There they are. Dots in the sky, behind and slightly above, about 25,000 feet. The dots grow larger.
Go get them!
You drop your wing tank, slam the throttle forward. Your wingman sticks with you for protection. You put the jug into a tight turn. You both head directly for the Luftwaffe pack. The blue sky becomes a nightmare of color. Red fireballs, white and black smoke, and long trails of orange flames. Brilliant tracers flash deadly arrows of light. Around you, pieces of flame scatter through the sky. It's hard to tell whose they are.
Light through!
You kick rudder and lay over the stick in a race to head off the attackers. A dozen Messerschmitts closing in on the B-17. Dive into them, break them up, scatter them, anything to keep them from getting a bomber. Suddenly your jug shudders with shock. A 20-millimeter shell scrapes a gash along the fighter's side. You stand the plane on its wing and bank steeply. You look around quickly. A Messerschmitt is right behind you, lining up to fire again. You turn again, but he is still there, ready for the kill. He's more maneuverable. You can't shake him. You shrink down in your seat, feeling bullets bang the armor plate an inch behind your back. You're glad you're in a big Thunderbolt and not a Messerschmitt. You look up and see your wingman tangling with the Jerry. There's another Jerry. Get out. Do something quick. You roll on your back and head straight down. The airspeed beetle races around the dial. 300, 350, 400 miles an hour. The 109 can't follow you now. At 10,000 feet, you pull back on the stick. But nothing happens. Shockwaves are building up. The jug doesn't respond. Down 450 miles an hour. Will the wings tear off? You grab the stick with both hands and pull back as hard as you can. Slowly she responds. Your muscles ache with the effort, but now it's working. Level, then straight up. Like a bullet, the Thunderbolt stabs its way up into the blue. And there in front of you, a Focke-Wulf. You come up right under him and squeeze the button on your stick. The 8 Browning spit bullets. All at once, the Focke-Wulf disappears in a ball of flame. The Thunderbolt busts right through the fire. Scraps of metal batter the canopy. Then the Thunderbolt is clear. You take a deep breath through the oxygen mask and push up your goggles to wipe away the sweat. You look around. The Jerrys are gone, but a B-17 slowly spins to earth, trailing smoke. White circles suddenly pop open and grow smaller as the crew parachutes down. You wave as your wingman pulls alongside.
The bombers have dropped their eggs. Return to base.
There's just enough fuel to get home. All around, other Thunderbolts are regrouping, some staggering from their wounds. It is time to head back across the channel to patch up the fighters and pilots for another day of war. The powerful P-47, the Thunderbolt, became famous for its ability to absorb battle damage and return home. It was the largest, heaviest, single-engine, single-seat, piston-powered fighter ever built. It was the first aircraft to hit supersonic speeds in a dive. Thunderbolts flew 500,000 combat sorties, standing up to the enemy's finest pilots and planes. They could take punishment like no other aircraft and hand it out as well. As the war went on, the Thunderbolt was put to new uses. Toward the end of 1943, the 8th Air Force Thunderbolts began returning from escort missions on the deck, strafing targets with their unused ammunition. Gradually, they became fighter bombers with great success. The P-47s were with the 9th and 15th U.S. Air Forces in the United Kingdom and Italy, hitting ground targets hard. But they still continued their long-range escort duties, not only in Europe, but in the Far East. The Thunderbolts made it all the way to Berlin itself. They brought in big bombers, then strafed communications, airfields, bridges, trains, and transports. They served in the Pacific with the Free French and Russian forces, as well as with the Royal Air Force. In nearly every theater of war, they fought through formidable defenses, turning the tide of many a sky battle. And the most outstanding tribute to this aircraft's ability to absorb punishment, as well as hand it out, is the fact that all 10 of the leading Thunderbolt aces survived the war.